Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. Coming up on today's program, Czech Profile. Pope Benedict praises the role that the gospel played in bringing hope to the Czech people in times of oppression during an address to the new Czech ambassador to the Holy See. Vatican going green. We find out more about two groundbreaking solar energy projects within the Vatican City State and other renewable energy projects in the pipeline. And to the ends of the earth, we have the 16th episode in our weekly radio drama based on the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's letters that has been aired to coincide with the Pauline year. Pope Benedict praised the role that the gospel played in bringing hope to the Czech people in times of oppression. His remarks came during an address to the new Czech ambassador of the Holy See, Pavel Vosilík, who presented his letters of credence today. Charles Collins reports.
Pope Benedict praised the role that the gospel has played in bringing hope to the Czech people in times of oppression, saying that hope is indeed the timeless message which the Church offers to every generation. The Holy Father made mention of the fact the Czech Republic will soon take over the presidency of the European Union. He said the Church is well aware of the many challenges facing Europe precisely at a time when its nations aspire to build a more stable international community for future generations. To move forward, the Pope said its leaders are called to recognize that human happiness and well-being cannot be achieved through structures alone or by any single stratum of social or political life. Pope Benedict said all of society benefits when the Church is afforded the right to exercise stewardship over the material and spiritual goods required for her ministry, saying that in the Czech Republic there are signs of progress in this area, but there is more to be done. He then made mention of the special government commission set up to deal with outstanding Church property issues, including the future of the cathedral in Prague. Pope Benedict concluded by offering his condolences to the Czech people upon the death of Ambassador Ivo Zadarek, who was among those killed last Saturday in the terrorist bombing in Islamabad, Pakistan. He said he prays daily for an end to such acts of aggression and encourages all those engaged in diplomatic service to dedicate themselves ever more keenly to facilitating peace and ensuring security throughout the world. I'm Charles Collins.
Sunshine on my shoulders makes me happy.
The Vatican is going green. More than 2,400 solar panels are being installed on the roof of the Paul VI Audience Hall, and another solar project has been installed above the Vatican employees' canteen. The solar panels on the auditorium will produce around 300,000 kilowatt hours of power each year, which is equivalent to the annual energy needs of about 100 families. However, given the huge size of the auditorium, the solar panels will only cover about 20% of the building's annual energy consumption. But the project above the canteen will provide nearly 70% of the power there needed to heat and cool the building. And there are other green projects being studied for the Vatican City State and its properties outside Rome, including the Pope's summer residence at Castel Gandolfo. These studies include not just other solar energy projects, but the possibility of small windmills, as well as treatment plants that would break down biodegradable material to produce methane and biogas. The European Union has set a target of meeting 20% of its energy needs with renewable resources by the year 2020. Vatican officials say their challenge is to try to ensure the tiny city-state is the first to meet those EU targets. Mauro Villarini is the engineer in charge of renewable energy projects within the Vatican City-State, and he told me more about these two pioneering projects. Sunshine.
Why the choice of solar energy?
Well, because of course solar energy is a free kind of energy from the sky and is a clean energy that match with the request of the Holy Father about the sustainable development. Many times in these last years, the Holy Father Benedict, but also the previous Pope, John Paul, often talked about the importance of the respect of the environment.
So before the end of the year, both of these projects are going to be up and running?
Yes, of course, the first, the photovoltaic one. The second one, the solar cooling, solar thermal plant, should finish by the end of the year.
And how much will these solar panels, installing these solar panels on the audience hall, cost?
More or less, the cost of this project is about 1 million.
1 million euros?
More than 1 million, yes.
And what other green projects are Vatican experts studying that could be adopted in the Vatican City State and its properties outside Rome, like, for instance, Castel Gandolfo?
Well, we have all this land available outside of Vatican City State, near Rome, in Santa Maria di Galeria. And, of course, all this area could be used for the installation of both solar for the direct production of electric energy and also parabolic collectors for high temperature of solar thermal plants. And, of course, we have, for example, in Castel Gandolfo, the idea to carry out a biomass plant and wind installations.
So some small windmills, then?
Of course.
Now, the European Union has set a target for its member states of meeting 20% of their energy needs with renewable resources by the year 2020. Do you believe that the Vatican City State could be the first state in Europe to meet those targets?
I don't know if Vatican City State will be the first one, but I can say that we are hard working to reach this target, and maybe we could reach it before.
So you're fairly confident that you can reach it before?
Yes, okay. I hope so. I personally hope so, and I believe it. But I can't
say for sure.
Yes. Sunshine
on the water. Monsignor James Reinhardt is an official at the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, and he spoke to me about the moral and ethical significance of these solar energy projects.
Well, as far as the science of solar energy and the whole question of renewables, it is an important project. It will lessen the Vatican's carbon footprint, but also it will, as an example for others, to look at this project and say, if the Vatican can do this, then we might, maybe should move toward finding renewable energy sources ourselves.
From a theological point of view, how important do you consider the need for us to safeguard the environment and preserve the planet's resources?
Well, it's very important. The Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace has been saying, along with other offices within the Curia, how important this is to protect the environment, to cooperate with creation, to be stewards of the world that the Lord has given to us. He has given humanity dominion over the earth, and He has told us to work in the vineyard, to work in the world. And so we see all of these things, the gifts that the Lord has given us, as part of the common heritage, this great gift that He's given to all people down through the ages. It's also important for us to realize that our own lives, we look forward to future generations, and so what we can do now to protect the earth will have benefits for future generations to be able to share in the same gifts that we have now.
That was Monsignor James Reinhardt from the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace. And earlier you heard the voice of Mauro Villarini, the engineer in charge of renewable energy projects within the Vatican City State. Today we have episode 16 in our weekly radio drama entitled To the Ends of the Earth, based on the Acts of the Apostles and St. Paul's letters. The play is written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett.
Last week you heard how Paul and Silvanus preached in Thessalonica, but had to leave because of the opposition of the local Jews. How Paul went alone to Athens and tried to convert the philosophers there. Today's episode tells of a happier time in Corinth, where Paul shares the life of Aquila and Prisca, how he writes to the Thessalonians, and how the Roman proconsul defends him from the Jews.
And so it was that after Athens, Paul went to Corinth, where he met a Jew called Aquila, whose family came from Pontus. He and his wife, Prisca, had recently left Italy because an edict of Claudius had expelled all the Jews from Rome. Paul went to visit them, and when he found they were tent makers, of the same trade as himself, he lodged with them, and they worked together.
So you had to leave Rome?
Yes, there was nothing for it. You see, there were these gangs, and they were always making trouble between the Christians and Jews. And before we knew where we were, there was this edict, and the emperor sent his soldiers around to all the Jewish communities. Mm. Well, here we are.
We had a nice house, too.
Plenty of work. I had some good customers in the imperial court.
But you seem to be pretty busy here, too.
Oh, yes. And there'll be work for you, too. Don't worry. With the summer ending and the first rains, the harbours will be full of ships laid up for the winter.
Well, I'm going to get the supper. You'll both be very hungry. And you must be tired, Paul, walking around the city all day.
It's certainly very impressive.
Light the Sabbath lamp, will you, Prisca?
Sabbath? You know, I'd quite lost count of the days. I must go to the synagogue in the morning.
I'll take you. It's not far from here.
You know, it's funny, but I'm really nervous this time. About facing the Jews, I mean. Will they accept the message of the gospel?
Take your time, Paul. Don't rush them. Give them a bit of time. Let it soak in. This isn't an easy town.
It can't be worse than Athens. That was a total fiasco.
You don't understand. I'm talking about the atmosphere of the place. It's evil. Immoral. All people think about is making money. And then, well, you can imagine how they spend it.
I had heard something of the kind.
Here in Corinth, you can find every kind of vice. And you know how many priestesses there are to Aphrodite up on the mountain. 1,000.
I believe you. But I won't try to convert the pagans till I have preached to the Jews. I always go to our people first. But if the pagans come, I will welcome them. The word of the Lord is for both Jew and Greek.
Supper's ready! Aquila, Paul!
Coming, Prisca! Well, Paul, we will pray for the success of your mission.
Thank you, Aquila, and thank you for taking me in so willingly. You're a real friend.
And Paul held debates in the synagogues every Sabbath, trying to convert Jews as well as Greeks.
Is that you, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, you're drenched.
Ah, Paul.
Come in.
I thought I'd never guess it. The roads are like rivers. If these are the autumn rains, then roll on spring. Thanks, Prisca. It's good to see a fire.
Here, Paul, a cup of wine to warm you. Well, how did they receive you this week?
I can't complain, I suppose. Some listened. It's slow work, as you said. You know, I may be mistaken, but I have the feeling that some of these people are just waiting for a chance to break it all up.
Oh, Paul, surely not. You mean spoil your work?
You're tired, man. It's getting on top of you.
You really should take a rest. All this preaching and then working with us.
Oh, all right. And once Silvanus and Timothy get here, things will be different. Oh, dear, I'm sorry, that wasn't very civil of me. I didn't mean to be ungrateful.
Paul, please, you don't have to apologize. Of course you want to see your friends, and you need their support.
Yes, I do. I'm glad you understand, Aquila.
Of course I do. And we're friends, brothers in Christ. And this is your home for as long as you wish. Isn't that so, Prisca?
It is indeed. And now, don't you think it's time we gave this brother of ours something to eat?
Oh, dear, I was forgetting. Come, Paul. Are you dry now?
I'm fine, thanks. And, Aquila, I want to hear more about Rome, your life there. Someday, I think I'll go there. I feel it. And, you know, every time I see a Roman galley...
After Silvanus and Timothy had arrived from Macedonia, Paul devoted all his time to preaching, declaring to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ. This Jesus I am preaching to you, who died on the cross.
But how can this man be the Christ? He labored with his hands.
We can't accept this.
What kind of Messiah is this to be sharing with the pagans? We are the chosen people.
This man has made too many disciples already. We can't allow it.
Your words are false, preacher. Your Savior is unworthy of the name, and you are a fraud.
This Jesus died on a tree. He's a curse.
Yes, a curse. Whoever dies on a tree is accursed.
When they turned against him and started to insult him, Paul took his cloak and shook it out in front of them. Then he left the synagogue and moved to the house next door that belonged to a worshipper of God called Justus. Crispus, president of the synagogue, and his whole household all became believers in the Lord. A great many Corinthians who had heard him became believers and were baptized, believing in God through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then, one night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision.
Paul. 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 Lord. Do not be afraid to speak out, Paul. Nor allow yourself to be silenced. I am with you. I have so many people on my side in this city that no one will even attempt to hurt you.
Lord.
So Paul stayed in Corinth, preaching the word of God among them for 18 months.
Timothy!
Oh, Paul, were you looking for me?
Yes. I thought I'd find you here. Have you been watching them take a ship across the isthmus?
Yes, it's really exciting, the way they haul it across those rollers.
It's called a diolkos. It saves them sailing 200 miles around the Cape.
It's a pretty dangerous Cape, from what I've heard. But they say they're going to cut a canal.
That's always been proposed. Alexander, Caesar, they both tried to cut through, but they didn't succeed.
Why not?
Well, there's a theory that the level of the Gulf of Corinth is higher than that of the level of the Gulf of Aegina. So that if the two seas were connected, the water would rush down and the island of Aegina would be submerged.
That sounds very far-fetched.
It is, of course. But the sailors have a better one. They'll tell you that every time someone tries to link the two gulfs, the earth spouts blood.
No.
Superstition. But they'll have to find a solution, and they will one day. Some determined man will cut a canal, and people will wonder why it wasn't done centuries before. Listen, Timothy. I need to talk to you. I want to know about Thessalonica. All this long winter, I've had these people on my mind. There were so many things I still had to tell them.
I know, and I haven't really been able to answer their questions. After I joined Silvanus in Berea, we were all set to come to you in Athens, and then your message came for me to go back to Thessalonica.
I was worried, Timothy. I thought they might not be able to keep the faith. I wanted to go back myself, as you know. I still want to. But the Lord seems to have other plans for me. I must stay here. But tell me, Timothy, tell me about our Thessalonian disciples.
You can put your mind at rest, Paul. Their faith is strong. They remember you kindly. They long to see you again. There were just a few things they needed reassurance on. All right, I'm ready, Paul. You can start dictating now.
From Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church in Thessalonica. Grace and peace.
Timothy is now back, and he has given us good news of your faith and your love. Now we can breathe again. We urge you to go on making even greater progress in the kind of life God wants, as you learnt from us.
Mm-hmm.
Study to be quiet, attending to your own business and earning your living. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we ever have our meals at anyone's table without paying for them.
Mm.
But we worked night and day, slaving and straining so as not to be a burden on any of you. And another thing, do not get excited or alarmed by any prediction or rumor or any letter claiming to come from us, implying that the day of the Lord has already arrived. You know very well that it's going to come like a thief in the night. But it's not as if you live in the dark. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We don't belong to the night or to darkness. We belong to the day. So let us not sleep as others do, but stay wide awake and sober. Let us put on faith and love for a breastplate and the hope of salvation for a helmet. All right, take a break, Timothy.
Oh, Paul, you put it so well. I mean, you know, I think you write even better than you preach.
Timothy, it's good to have you around again. But you flatter me, you know. I'm not a good preacher at all. There have been times here when I thought I wouldn't gain a single disciple. And I came here from Athens. You should have heard them jeering on the Areopagus. Yes, I came here in weakness, in fear and trembling.
I can't imagine you ever being afraid or weak, Paul.
You haven't seen me at my worst. Except, perhaps, that time in Troas, when Luke turned up just at the right moment. I wonder how he's getting on, our physician.
Have you had any more of those attacks?
No, not recently. But I get depressed sometimes. There's so much to do and so little time and...
Paul, you all right?
Yeah, yes. I'm all right. I'm fine. It's just a moment of my weakness.
Come to the window, you need some air. What about a drink of water? Shall I call Prisca?
No, don't disturb her. She's busy weaving, finishing something of Aquila's.
Where is Aquila? Silvanus was looking for him.
I know. He found him. They've gone to the synagogue. Come on. Let's finish this letter.
Are you sure? You're really all right?
Yes, I'm fine. All right. Ready?
Whenever you are.
Let's see. What have we written so far? Yes. Yes, well, we've answered their questions, I think.
In admirable fashion.
I hope you're right. Well, a few words of encouragement. Be at peace among yourselves. Warn the idlers, give courage to the apprehensive, care for the weak, and be patient with everyone. Think before you do anything. Hold on to what is good. Never grow tired of doing what is right. Now, give me the pen, Timothy. From me, Paul, these greetings in my own handwriting, which is the mark of genuineness in every letter. This is my own writing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. We're done. Timothy, it's all yours.
I'll be gone by morning.
We'll miss you, Timothy. But the Lord's work comes first.
Oh, of course. Never fear. I'll go straight to the Thessalonian disciples, I promise you. But, Paul, you must promise me something.
What's that?
You will take care of yourself.
The Lord will take care of me. And you. Godspeed, Timothy.
Briska! Briska! Is Paul there?
He's just got in. What's the matter?
We must get him away quick. Hide him somewhere.
Why? Whatever. Oh, Paul, there you are.
What is it? Aquila, what's happened?
Paul, you must get away. They're coming for you.
Who's coming for me?
Oh, I know. It's that Sosthenes.
That's it. He's been waiting for a chance.
The new ruler of the synagogue. But I never go near the place now.
You've become too popular, Paul. He's jealous. And now there's a new proconsul. He's hoping to trump up some charge and get him to imprison you.
Gallio. But I've heard he's a very good-natured person. He's a brother of Seneca, you know, the philosopher.
Oh, Paul, Aquila, they're coming. Quick, they're nearly here. Where can we hide you?
While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a concerted attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal.
Quiet, everyone! The proconsul wishes to speak.
What is the charge you bring against this man?
Your Excellency, this man is persuading people to worship God in a way that breaks the law.
Listen, you Jews. If this were a misdemeanor or a crime, I would not hesitate to attend to you. But if it is only quibbles about words and names and about your own law, then you must deal with it yourselves. I have no intention of making legal decisions about things like that.
But, sir, you don't understand.
I understand very well, and I refuse to judge this matter. It is for your own law to decide. The law of Rome is not interested in this kind of dispute. And now away with you. Leave the court.
Clear the court! Out! Clear the court!
Then he sent them out of the court, and at once they all turned on Sosthenes, the synagogue president, and beat him in front of the courthouse. Gallio refused to take any notice at all.
You have been listening to episode 16 of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Jack Gillen, David Horton, Philippa Hitchin, Thaddeus Jones, Anna Mazzotti, Adrian McCourt, Robert Mickens, Patrick Nicholson and Martin Penner. The sound engineer was Tommaso Pallottino. The programme was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome. That's all from us here at the English programme for today, but we hope you have enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow, so be sure to join us then if you can. And don't forget, you can always find our programmes at the click of a mouse on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions, so do send us an email. Laudato Jesus Christus.